Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of KJV, BibleBelievers.com, and this special study titled, The Pope is Antichrist. We had prepared and announced this study late in January of 2013, and again on February 10th at the Sunday meeting here in Worthington. We had informed everyone that we would be teaching on this subject the following Wednesday. Then we woke up Monday morning, February 11th, to the news that Pope Benedict XVI has announced his resignation and that a new pope would be appointed by the end of March. Now, we do not believe that it is just coincidence that the Lord had led us to prepare this message and that He had stirred such interest in the hearts of Bible believers here in Central Ohio and among our larger family of radio and internet listeners. So with that background, understanding how important this message is, we invite you to join us for this two-part study titled, The Pope is Antichrist.
Now this message, we're going to see that the Pope is Antichrist. You can't even really debate that fact. The only thing we have debated over the years recently is whether or not the final Antichrist will be a Pope. And I believe that the Bible lays out that that's the case as well. But I'm going to cover a lot of material tonight, and I want you to understand that we're just scratching the surface. The quotations I'll provide, other information, there's a ton more that we could go into. But I think you're going to be pretty impressed with what you see tonight. In this graphic, that is the St. Peter's Square, I think they call it, but it's not actually a square, but... Right in the middle of that is a phallic symbol, right there. And that's because Roman Catholicism carries on the mystery Babylon religion, which is basically a sex cult. And we're not going to get into that tonight, but we'll do that some other time. We'll get into that whole teaching. But if you ever wondered, what we got one of those in the middle of Washington, D.C. as well. It's put there by Freemasons. Because Masonry is a sex cult. And so we'll come back to that some other time. Just want to give you a taste of what you're about to see. This is a historian, Christian historian. And his last name is Wiley. He says this, quote, "The same line of proof which establishes that Christ is the promised Messiah, conversely applied, establishes that the Roman system is the predicted apostasy that we're studying and will continue to study in the book of Revelation." He continues, "In the life of Christ we behold the converse of what Antichrist must be. And in the prophecy of the Antichrist we are shown the converse of what Christ must be and was. And when we place the papacy between the two and compare it with each, we find on the one hand that it is the perfect converse of Christ." It means the opposite of Jesus Christ, as seen in His life. "And on the other, that it is the perfect image of the Antichrist, as shown in the prophecy of Him. We conclude, therefore, that if Jesus of Nazareth be the Christ, then the Roman papacy is the Antichrist." End quote. Now, we are told about the Antichrist in John's writings more than any other in the New Testament. And John wrote 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, the Gospel of John, and the book of Revelation. And in 1 John 2:18, read that with me. "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." There were already Antichrists. So you have to understand that. There's a difference between Antichrists and the Antichrist. There are many Antichrists throughout history, but there's coming one who will be the Antichrist, also known as the Beast, as we study in the book of Revelation. Now, these popes through the centuries have all sought to do what the Antichrist will eventually do, and that is be the world leader. They have all sought to rule the world. That is what's behind these kind of news reports. This was a few years ago when John Paul II was still around. And people wondered, why would the Pope be calling for a new world order? Because he wants to sit at the head of that new world order. And that's the only real requirement that the Pope has, is that he sits at the head of the table. He doesn't care what you believe. And if you start looking, you'll understand it. Most of your Roman Catholic friends and family don't believe what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. They don't. All you have to do is start going down the list of the Roman Catholic doctrines and they'll say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, wait a minute, the Pope says you... They don't care. The Pope doesn't care as long as you remain under his control. It's all about control. And that's why the popes are behind a lot of this stuff when it comes to calling for a new world order. Now, there have been 265 popes, and the final pope, I believe, is the Antichrist talked about in Scripture. What you're looking at right there is what everybody who knows anything about the papacy pictures. That guy there is a pope. That guy there is a king. And your presidents have done that. World leaders go to Rome and kiss his feet. Religious leaders go to Rome and kiss his feet. Now, they don't do it in public right now. They do it behind closed doors. You remember seeing Obama bowing down before the Saudi king and before the Queen of England? Mm-hmm. The reports are that's what he did in Rome. And I'm not just talking about Obama. I'm talking about George W. and all the other ones have gone over there. You need to wake up to something, folks. The news media is not telling you anything except what they want you to think. The world leaders go to Rome and kiss the feet of the Pope. And they are setting up a new world order. And a lot of these guys will even admit they would like to see the Pope at the head of the new world order. And we're not going to be able to cover all those quotations tonight. But this is what Christian history, this is what Christians, I'm going to show you quote after quote as we go through here. Christians have always understood this until the last 100 years. Last 100 years, you got new Bible versions. The last 100 years, you got the apostate churches. And the last 100 years, you also have the denial of the Pope as Antichrist. But if you go back more than 100, you don't even have to go, well, it's about 100 years ago, yeah. You go back to before World War I, if a person called themselves Protestant, Baptist, anything along those lines, they would tell you the Pope is Antichrist. They taught it in the curriculum in the schools. They taught it in the churches. But along with changing from the King James Bible to the Vatican Bible, the NIV, is a New International Vatican Bible. The NASV, New American Standard Vatican Bible. The ESV is an English Standard Vatican Bible. Every new version is a Vatican Bible. It comes from the Vatican Codex. We've got a 2-hour documentary proving it. Haven't had a single person, including college professors, including men who are pastoring churches that I've sent that to, and not one of them has even tried to refute it. And I've challenged them to do so publicly, and they won't do it because they can't. It's documented. It's fact. It's not even a question. And then when they turn to the Vatican Bible, that was all. Ever since then, it's been turning back to Rome, one thing after another. Back in 991, this guy named Arnulf, this is a Roman Catholic bishop. You're not reading the Reformer here. And this Roman Catholic bishop of Orleans, France, said, quote, he deplored the Roman popes as, his words, quote, monsters of guilt, end quote. And he declared in a council called by the King of France in 991 AD that the pontiff, the pope, clad in purple and gold, was, quote, Antichrist, sitting in the temple of God and showing himself as God, end quote. That's a Roman Catholic bishop. Now you go back and read the other Christians of that era, the Waldenses, the Albigenses, the Paulicians, they all believed that the Pope was Antichrist. If you, as you are now, a non-Catholic, Bible-believing Christian, lived in that day, you couldn't go to a church where they didn't believe the Pope was Antichrist. And if you went in and tried to change their mind, they'd kick you out. Because they figure you must have a devil or something. Just telling you, that's the way it is. Now look down here at the bottom. This is a news story. 1998. You won't see it covered in much of the media. They went into the Vatican archives and they got this index of forbidden books and proved what the Pope and the Catholic Church have been lying about for decades, that the Bible was banned by the Vatican. The Vatican puts itself above God, and they banned Christians from reading the Bible. Folks, that's because it's a cult. The Roman Catholic Church is a cult because they teach a false gospel, they banned the Bible, and now they can't beat it, so they joined it and put out their own Bible, which is corrupt, to get you away from the true Bible. There's a fellow over there in Ireland named Eoin Paisley. And Eoin Paisley, there's all kinds of things we could show you about Eoin Paisley and his attitude about the Pope being Antichrist. But this is very useful information. They call the Pope the Vicar of Christ. That's his title. Eoin Paisley says this, quote, "Antichrist is a Greek word. Vicar is an English word. The words are synonymous. They have exactly the same meaning. Antichrist, translated into the English, is Vice Christ or Vicar of Christ. Vicar of Christ, rendered into the Greek, is Antichristos, which is in English Antichrist. The ordinary use of the word in the Greek is decisive on this point. So every time the Pope claims to be the Vicar of Christ, he is pleading at the bar of the world's opinion that he is indeed the Antichrist." End quote. Listen, that's not even debatable. That's just a fact. Most of what I'm going to tell you tonight isn't even in the realm of debate. It's just, this is the fact, and that's how it is. Now, I want to show you a couple more quick quotes. This is a Archbishop, Roman Catholic, and he stated at a synod of bishops, his name's Eberhard II. He was at a synod of bishops held at Regensburg in 1240, some say 1241, that the people of his day, he's talking about the Catholic people of his day, were accustomed to calling the Pope Antichrist. Why? Because even the Catholics recognized how wicked this whole thing was with the Pope. And the Council of Trent confirms, when we tell you that the Pope believes he is to be the ruler of the whole world, the Council of Trent, this is 1545, quote, "We define that the Holy Apostolic See," that's their term for the Vatican, the Pope, "and the Roman Pontiff," that's the Pope, "hold primacy over the whole world," end quote. Now, folks, that statement right here, that is Roman Catholic dogma. If you don't believe that, according to the Council of Trent itself, you're anathema. You are to burn in hell for eternity because you reject that statement. Now, they don't come out on TV and say that out bluntly and openly because they're of the father, their father, the devil, and he is the father of lies. And so they say what they think they can say, what they can get by with, when they can get by with it. But all you have to do is go read their own doctrine, read their own writings. It's right there. The Pope really does believe he should rule the world. Now, 2 John 1:7 tells us something else. And some people will try to use this as a basis for denying that the Roman Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon, mystery Babylon, and that the Pope is Antichrist. 2 John 1:7, read that with me. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You say, well, they admit Jesus comes in the flesh, has come in the flesh, and they don't deny that. Well, yes, they do. You see, the Roman cult doesn't forthrightly deny that Jesus has come in the flesh, but they instead create a false Jesus that they eat in the Mass.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't understand that, you don't understand Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism believes that the priest says hocus pocus, and I'm not making that up, and he turns the wafer into the body of Jesus and you eat the flesh of Jesus. It's a cannibal cult. And you drink the wine and it is the blood of Jesus. And they don't mean it spiritually or just done in remembrance. As a matter of fact, they burned people at the stake if they denied that it was the real body and blood of Jesus in the Mass. So they do deny Jesus having come in the flesh because they say He comes in the flesh for you to eat every time they have Mass. And that is a Jesus of their own creation. Now look at this. And this is Pope Boniface, 1302 A.D. Quote, furthermore, we declare, we proclaim, we define that it is absolutely necessary for salvation that every human creature be subject to the Roman pontiff. End quote. The Pope believes that you will go to hell if you do not submit yourself to him. That's every human creature on the planet. He believes he should rule the world. In the bottom here, this little clip, this is a statement, a letter from a cardinal, Giuseppe Sarto, who happened to become Pope Pius X. And this is in 1903. And in this, he says, I have read all the homilies I have made since my coming here in Venice, and only in the sermon for the anniversary of the election of the Holy Father, we'll come back to that title in a minute, I said these exact words. Quote, he's quoting himself, the Pope represents Jesus Christ himself and therefore is a loving Father, capital F. It gets even more clear than that. We'll see in a minute. But I want to share a few of these quotes as we go on. This is John Wycliffe. You know who John Wycliffe is?
Mm-hmm.
Put the first English Bible in print. And it says, this is a quote from John Wycliffe, when the Western Church was divided for about 40 years between two rival popes, one in Rome and the other in Avignon, France, each pope called the other pope Antichrist. And John Wycliffe is reputed to have regarded them as both being right. He called it, quote, two halves of Antichrist making up the perfect man of sin between them, end quote. Now listen, over and over and over you're going to see that Bible-believing Christians had no doubt about this through the years. One more reference here in 1 John I want you to read with me. 1 John 2:22. Read that. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now you say, well, they don't really deny that Jesus is the Christ. Well, they do because they tell you that the Pope is the Christ on earth. And they're not just meaning in some spiritual sense. The Pope usurps the roles and titles of Jesus Christ. He denied the biblical Jesus by making themselves to be Jesus on earth. This is a document that is called the Extravagant of John. And you look over here in the English translation. Quote, "But to believe that our Lord God the Pope, the establisher of said decreto, and of this could not decree, as he did decree, should be accounted heretical." End quote. They're saying that if you reject something the Pope says, it's heretical because you're rejecting the word of the Lord God the Pope. Look at that. Our Lord God the Pope. Cannot miss it. And we're going to show you this over and over. I'm not going to show you every reference. I couldn't. But I'm going to show you several. Here is Pope Innocent III. Quote, "Those whom the Pope of Rome doth separate, it is not a man that separates them, but God. For the Pope holdeth place on earth, not simply of a man, but of the true God." End quote. That's what we call blasphemy, people. And one after the other has claimed... Here's Pope Nicholas. Quote, "I am all in all and above all, so that God Himself and I, the Vicar of God, hath both one consistory, and I am able to do almost all that God can do. Wherefore, if those things that I do be said not to be done of man, but of God, what can you make me but God? Again, if the prelates of the church be called and counted of Constantine for gods, I then, being above all prelates, seem by this reason to be above all gods. Wherefore, no marvel if it be in my power to dispense with all things, yea, with the precepts of Christ." End quote. He just said he could junk the word of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
For his own word. He just put himself above Jesus Christ. They're not egotistical at all, are they? Now, again, I'm quoting a lot of Catholics. I'm going to give you some quotes of Christians because I want you to understand it. Bible-believing Christians, obviously, believe this. But even the Catholics themselves. Cardinal Manning, quote, "The Catholic Church is either the masterpiece of Satan or the kingdom of the Son of God." End quote. Yeah. They recognize that there's no biblical basis for much of what they teach. If you don't accept it as coming from God, the only other choice is what it is. Here's Cardinal Newman, better known Cardinal. Quote, "A sacerdotal order," which is like the sacraments and everything, "is historically the essence of the Church of Rome. If not divinely appointed, it is doctrinally the essence of Antichrist." End quote. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. Here's another cardinal, Robert Bellarmine. He lived from 1542 to 1621, about the time the King James Bible came out. Quote, "All names which in the Scriptures are applied to Christ, by virtue of which it is established that He is over the church, all the same names are applied to the Pope." End quote. All of them.
How humble.
He said this, quote, "The Pope is not only the representative of Jesus Christ, but He is Jesus Christ Himself, hidden under the veil of flesh." End quote. Hey, Jack Van Impe, why aren't you telling people this? Your TV preachers, it's not that they don't have the spine. The love of money is the root of all evil. Catholics pay these guys off. They've been paying off Billy Graham since the 1950s to keep him from teaching this. And they bought Jack Van Impe in the 80s.
Jerry Falwell
paid him off. That's why these guys would take a strong stand on abortion and that sort of thing, but they won't speak against the Antichrist. Money, money, money.
So bribery is... Well,
here's Pope Leo XIII. Quote, "We hold upon this earth the place of God Almighty." End quote. I know, and you probably, some of you are thinking, I feel like I'm dirty. This is just tonight, put up with it. Pope John Paul II, who is such a godly man, according to Jack Van Impe and Paul Crouch and Billy Graham and all these people, he was a godly man. But if you watched his funeral, he entrusted his soul unto Mary. And it's a fake Mary. It's a devil. That's not the real Mary they're praying to. But here's what he said, quote, "We readily understand the devotion of St. Francis of Assisi for the Lord Pope. The daughterly outspokenness of St. Catherine of Siena towards the one whom she called sweet Christ on the earth." End quote. Listen, St. Francis of Assisi, you hear all kinds of preachers quote him like he was some great thing, and he was a dedicated papist. He served the Pope. He didn't serve Jesus Christ. If you got books by St. Francis and you look close enough, you'll see the man was not a worshiper of Jesus Christ. He was a worshiper of the Pope. And this St. Catherine, in another quote I don't have with me tonight, but we'll put it on the Facebook group a couple weeks ago, St. Catherine here of Siena said, even if we knew that the Pope was Satan himself, we should still obey him.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He is the one spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Did we just see that? Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now this is reference to the final Pope who is going to go into the city of Jerusalem. Now if you think you've seen something already, we should put seatbelts on these chairs. Because I'm going to show you that the Pope who claims to be the King of Jerusalem is taking over the city of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Right now. As we speak. I'm going to show it to you. Before we do, here's Cotton Mather, who's one of the Puritan preachers of the before the United States of America was founded. He said, quote, "The oracles of God foretold the rising of an Antichrist in the Christian church. And in the Pope of Rome, all the characteristics of that Antichrist are so marvelously answered that if any who read the Scriptures do not see it, there is a marvelous blindness upon them." End quote. That concludes part one of our two-part study titled, "The Pope is Antichrist." This message will be posted on our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com. And can be heard there or downloaded from that site anytime and by anyone free of charge. That web address again is kjvbiblebelievers.com. If you would like to write to us, we can be reached by addressing your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. That address again is P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. The ministry of Bible Believers Fellowship and KJVBibleBelievers.com is funded by free will offerings, and we would like to thank those of you who have sent gifts to help keep this ministry on the air and to support our vast and growing online presence. On behalf of Bible Believers Fellowship, we want to invite you to listen to part two of this study, "The Pope is Antichrist." In the meantime, I am Pastor Greg, and we thank you for listening.